We'd like to welcome the internet audience today. Some of these folks, some of them, perhaps most of them, we've never met before. Many of them we have met. And one day, I believe, as children of God, we will meet in the clouds of the air, going up to be with the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've never known them, but yet we preach to them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, not just here locally in this audience and in this auditorium, but in every country of the world. We have the capability of reaching out now to preach to every country in the world the message of Jesus Christ, and that's a privilege indeed. Next Sunday, if the Lord directs, I want to speak along the subject of what is causing all of the turmoil today and all of the danger today and all of the rioting today and all of the disorder and all of the God-hating that we see taking place today. However, this morning, I want to transform, if I can, this audience and this place, not into an evangelistic auditorium, like to do that as often as we can, but I want to transform it into a class, a theology class. And when I say a theology class, that means somebody works beside me and other than me. It means that if you're going to get what I'm saying, you're going to have to pay attention. And you're going to have to follow along in your Bibles when I give you scriptures. We'll be using many scriptures. Some of them I'll give to you. I'll just quote them to you and give you the reference. Some I'm actually going to have you turn with me too. But it's very important that you give total attention in this message today. Please turn to Romans chapter 16. Brother Randy opened up the service with Romans chapter 1. Romans is a good book from chapter 1 through chapter 16. But today, chapter number 16, the book of Romans. And I'd like to read for your hearing verses 1 through 10. Romans chapter number 1. Pardon me, Romans chapter number 16, verses 1 through 10. And I'm endeavoring to preach and to teach this morning on what it means to be in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. In Romans 16, verse 1 and following, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, Paul speaks of Phoebe as his sister in Christ. She belonged to the family of God. He belonged to the family of God, and that made him brothers and sisters, as he mentions Phoebe here, and he calls her our sister, which is a servant of the church. Incidentally, that word servant comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means deacon. You say, well, was Phoebe a deacon? You better believe she was. He said, well, I didn't think we were supposed to ordain deacons. Say anything about ordaining deacons. Talking about Phoebe was a deacon. She was a servant of the women of the church. And that church was located in Centuria, which is about 8 miles from Corinth. And Paul, when he was preaching at Corinth, went over into Centuria and preached. And as a result, he established a church there. And Phoebe was a member of that church. And he chooses Phoebe to be the transporting agency of getting this epistle from Corinth to Rome. She's to take it. She's to take it. She's the standard bearer. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Now he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not also I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. likewise greet the church that is in their house. For about the first 250 years, there was no church buildings per se. The church met in homes, homes of the believers. And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Hunia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. He said, they were saved before I was. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statues, my beloved. Verse 10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote Romans about 25 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he sent it during his missionary stay in Corinth at that time. He sent this letter to Rome. In this final chapter, he's sending his love to his many friends and converts in Rome. Notice he calls them by their first names. They were not just a congregation to him. They were brothers and sisters in Christ. And he sends this and calls their names clearly in this chapter. Several times he describes them as being in Christ. That's important. Look at verse number 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Hunia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Look at verse number 9. Salute Urbane, my helper in Christ. Look at verse 10. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. It's definitely a Pauline term. Paul uses it more than any of the other writers. He talks about people who've been saved as being in Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? First of all, the importance of being in Christ. The importance of being in Christ. A, its prominence in the Scripture. Its prevalence in the Scripture. It is used so many times in the Word of God. In Christ. In Christ. One time alone would be sufficient. However, it is used over 60 times in the New Testament, referring to believers in Christ. I want you to notice a few of those places on this idea of the prevalency of this term in your Bible and in my Bible. In the book of 1 Corinthians, and all I have to do is to turn a page from the 16th of Romans. There you have Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In chapter number 3, verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. In chapter number 4, verse number 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We're weak, you're strong, you're honorable, we're despised. Verse number 15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Verse number 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. And then you find in 1 Thessalonians, let me give you the reference, and this is what it says. You can jot it down. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You say, well, this is taking a little time. It takes a little time to study the Word of God. We're talking about the prevalency of the term in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Another reference. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, it says, peace with you all that are in Christ Jesus. In Jude 1, and there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Where are we that we're preserved? We're in Jesus Christ. So we see the prevalency of it in Scripture, that term. It's over and over and over again. Secondly, under that major point is this, it's priority in salvation. It's priority in salvation. Being in Christ is essential to salvation. You cannot be saved without being in Christ. And a man may be a member of the church. He may have some religious credentials. But unless a man is in Jesus Christ, he does not know the Lord. It's priority. Where is that taught? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That's the reference. Let me give it to you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and behold, all things have passed away, all things have become new. Let me give you another one. Romans 8, 1. You can jot these down. Therefore is there no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're not talking about a little technical term that I'm trying to bore you with this morning. I'm talking about an essential doctrine of God's saving grace that puts us in Jesus Christ. And then, my dear friends, there's another one in Ephesians, and I want you to turn to that. Ephesians, chapter number 1. And oh, how I love the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter number 1, look at it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us or elected us, and it was done where? In him. Verse number 5, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And then in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It is in Christ. Go down to verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, over and over again, in Jesus Christ. Our election is in Jesus Christ. Our predestination is in Jesus Christ. Our adoption is in Jesus Christ. Our redemption is in Jesus Christ. Our forgiveness is in Jesus Christ, and our glorification one day will be in Jesus Christ. That's a very important subject in the Word of God. What does it mean to be in Christ? The meaning of being in Christ. It does not mean physically. It does not mean we are physically in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in heaven, and we're on this earth, and yet we are in Him, but we're not in Him physically. It does, however, mean that we are positionally in Christ. The Scriptures, folk, this is so important. The Scriptures speaks of being in two men positionally. All believers are in two men positionally. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, jot the reference down. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We are in Adam, and yet when the Lord saves us, we are in Jesus Christ. We were not in Adam physically. That's 6,000 years ago. We're not in Jesus Christ physically. He's in heaven. We're on this earth. But we were in Adam positionally, and we were in Christ and are in Christ positionally. Now let's look at those two places where we are in. Our position is established. We were in Adam before we were saved. That means when the time came for you to be born, my dear friends, you were born in Adam. I was born in Adam. It involves three things. First of all, it is seminally. Seminally. That means in seed form. We came from Adam. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 20, as Adam, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, she was the mother of all living. Every human being that has ever come into this world comes from Adam's seed in the Garden of Eden. Adam supplied the sperm. Eve supplied the egg. And God joined that union to produce what we know to be today the human race. In that sense, seminally, we all came from Adam. If Eve is the mother of all living, then Adam is the father of all living. The entire human race rested in the loins of our father, Adam. We came from his seed. The ancestry question is forever settled at this point. You do not have to pay money for someone to send you some papers to tell you that you were Napoleon's wife, or maybe you were somebody else's husband by a second wife, or you can date your lineage back to this and your lineage back to that. The entire human race has a common ancestry. We all came from Adam. Every white person you know came from Adam. Every black person you know came from Adam. Regardless of a person's skin, regardless of a person's race, seminally, he's in Adam. Seminally, he's in Adam. That was before salvation. When we were born physically, we were born in Adam. Secondly, it's to be considered representatively. We are in Adam representatively. Adam was earthy, and we are of the same earth. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 15,
verses 45 through 49. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Here Paul defines Adam in a twofold manner. There is Adam number one and Adam number two. Adam number one is the Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam number two is the Lord Jesus Christ. The first man, that is the first Adam, is of the earth. Was not Adam made of the earth? He most certainly was. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. As the earthly, such are them that are earthy. As in the heavenly, such as them that are heavenly. As we've borne the image of the earthly, we're just like our daddy. We're just like Adam. We have borne the image of the earthly. One day we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, the Lord Jesus Christ. Representatively, Adam was earthly. Thus we are the same, earthly. What he was, we were. What he did, we did, even though we were not there. You went to sleep on that one, didn't you? What he did, even though we were not there. He is the federal head of the universe. God declared Adam to be the federal head of the universe when he made him. All life comes from the loins of Adam. And therefore, representatively, we are in Adam. What he did, I did. We're like our daddy. And our daddy is Adam. A member of the House of Representatives, which you elected, and we don't all elect the same representative. But when you elect a representative of the House of Representatives, whatever that man does, you do. And whatever vote he casts, you cast without even having to vote. He is your representative. Adam is our representative. I was not in the Garden of Eden, but Adam is my representative. And when he disobeyed God, I disobeyed God, even though I was not even born. And when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree that God said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die, I ate of that fruit. And just as surely as Adam died, I'm going to die. And just as surely as I'm going to die, you're going to die, because Adam is our representative. We're in Adam. We're born in Adam. I don't care how good your doctor might be. Comes a time when he can't do any more for you. And there comes a time when the undertaker takes over. You read the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, it is the giant obituary of the human race. And he died, and he died, and he died. I didn't do what Adam did. Yes, I did. He was my representative. I am in Adam, and as in Adam, all die. I hope you can see that. Not only representatively, but covenantly, we are in Adam. In Genesis 2, 16 through 17, the Lord God commanded the man, that is Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam did not die physically the day he ate the fruit. He died spiritually. And that's why when you and I are born, we are born in trespasses and in sins. Even though we have not sinned, we're born sinners. Covenantly. It was a covenant of law and works that God gave to Adam. He said, Adam, if you Eat the fruit, you're going to die. If you don't eat the fruit, you will live. And Adam made the choice of disobeying God, and he died spiritually, and all men are born spiritually dead in trespasses. And that's a covenant, my dear friend. And as in Adam, all die. Romans 5, 12 and 19. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And you know who that one man was? Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned in Adam. When Adam sinned, the whole human race sinned, because he was carrying the human race in his loins, the seedbed of human existence. Read on. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now watch that, church. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. How can I be held responsible for something Adam did? The Bible says it's so. By the death of one man, many were made sinners. By what Adam did, I became a sinner because he's my representative, and I join him in that covenant relationship. But also, by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Our righteousness is in Christ, but our present standing as sinners, apart from salvation, is in Adam, and it is in him alone. Now, let's quickly notice we are in Christ. I said there are two places where we're represented, in Adam and in Christ. In Christ, after salvation, we are seminally, S-E-M-I-N-A-L-L-Y, we are seminally in Jesus Christ. Seed form. Seed form. 1 John 3, verse 9. Now, listen carefully to this. Whosoever is born of God doth, whosoever is born of God doth commit sin or does not commit sin. That is habitually. For his seed, whose seed? The seed of Christ, the seed of God, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. He cannot sin habitually because he's been born of God. When we were born of Adam's seed, we took on Adam's nature. So when we're born of God, we become partakers of his divine nature. We no longer practice sin. We may fall into it, but we get out of it as quickly as we can. We do not practice sin any longer. Once we're in Christ, we stop practicing sin, because we become partakers of his divine nature. Seminally, we're in Christ. Representatively, we are in Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 5 through 6 and 7 through 8. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 6 and verses 7 through 8. What does the scripture say? For when we were yet, pardon me, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Adam died, we died in him. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Representatively, when Christ Jesus died on the cross, we died. Now, let that sink in a moment. As believers, as Christians, when Christ died on the cross, we died on the cross. You say, where do you get that from? I'm glad you asked. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who gave himself for me. When Christ was nailed to the cross, I, as a believer in Christ, am identified with him representatively. I died on the cross. And when Christ Jesus arose from the tomb, my dear friends, I too arose from that great possibility of death and being in a grave somewhere, that we will not have to do that. That is, we've been liberated from that representatively. If that be not so, my dear friends, what does Ephesians 2:6 mean when it says that he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ? We're not going one day to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're sitting right now in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Physically, you're confined with walls that determine a church building. But my dear friends, the church is a spiritual body that identifies with the burial of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. He is our representative. What happened to him has happened to us. We died with him and we live in him. Representatively and then covenantly. In Adam, we died under a covenant of works. In Christ, we're made alive under the covenant of grace. In Romans 5 again, verse 15, 17 and following, Romans chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. What's he talking about? Because Adam died, many are going to die like Adam. Much more, by the grace of God, the gift of grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. Now, dear friend, you and I both know that death reigns today. Have you ever seen so much death that's going on? And it's always been going on for the last 6,000 years since the Garden of Eden. People live and people die. Even this virus that has swept our nation and swept our country and even to an extent of sweeping our hundreds of thousands of people have died. You say, well, it didn't happen to us. Well, it may not happen from that particular cause, but just as sure as you're sitting there, as in Adam, all die. We have that to face, my dear friends. Why? Because of one man's offense, Adam's offense. Death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I love verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Condemnation comes from our being in Adam, who disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Even so, however, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came unto all men, unto justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. What Adam did declared that we were all sinners, and what Christ did for those who trust in him and believe in him, it becomes life from the dead because of one man's obedience. Christ died on the cross. In Adam, we died under a covenant of works. In Christ, we're made alive under the covenant of grace. So, in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? You say, well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. We'll talk about that some other time. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means you are a new creature. Old things have passed away.
and behold, all things have become new. You're not the same man you used to be. I love George Jantz did as a gospel singer. He would sing about coming home after the Lord saved him and said to his boy, he said, "Son, you don't have to worry about me. I'm not the same daddy I used to be." You know what? When you are saved by God's grace, you're put into Jesus Christ with a new nature. We're partakers of His divine nature. And it makes a difference on how we live and how we act and how we behave and how we think and how we love and what we love. Now then, you've been kind to listen to that. I hope that it will promote some study on your part of what it means to be in Christ. Now, the way of getting into Christ, how you get into it. If life can only be found in Him, how do you get in Him? If freedom from condemnation is in Christ, how do you get into Him? And I cannot go into detail here. I would love to. Don't have the time to do it. It's not by water baptism. We are not baptized into Jesus Christ. We are baptized unto Jesus Christ, not into Jesus Christ. It is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has not baptized anybody. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but the water didn't do the baptizing. The Holy Spirit doesn't do the baptizing. Christ Jesus does the baptizing. But how do we get into Christ? And the answer is so simple. Clears the nose on your face. It's by creation. Yeah, it's by creation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Sometimes we're reading Ephesians 2, 8 because that's the Baptist theme verse, isn't it? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Read on. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You get into Christ Jesus by creation. We are created into Christ. How did you get into the world? It was by creation. You experienced a physical birth. That's creation. How do you get into Jesus Christ? By creation. You experienced a second birth. You know why there's a second birth? Because the first one's not good enough. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. That's how you get into Christ. Now, you don't do anything to get born again any more than you did anything to be born first time. Have you ever thought about all the good works you must have done to be born the first time? You didn't do a thing. And I didn't do a thing. And my dear friends, I want to say this as clearly as I know how to. You're not saved by what you do. You do not get into Christ by what you do. You get into Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. You're born again. And when you are born again, it's amazing what takes place. You're changed. Old things are passed away. And all of a sudden, things look differently and are differently. Something about church that means something. Something about the Bible that means something. Something about preaching that means something. So what in the world happened to me? You've been born again. Born again. And this is how we get into Jesus Christ. Now what's the result of all that? And I close. The result of it is Revelation 14, 13. I heard a voice saying unto me, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Not everybody who dies in the Lord. But those who die in the Lord will never die again. From henceforth on. In the Lord. So the question today is this, not when I join the church, Not when I went down the Roman road. Not when I signed a pledge card. But am I in Jesus Christ? Do I trust Him today as my Savior? Do I look to Him as my sovereign Lord? Has there been any changes in my life since I've come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior? It's what it means to be in Christ. You cannot die in the Lord if you do not live in the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word.